Welcome to Tordi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Aleph, Chapter 31. In the previous perek, Yirmiyahu gave one of his rare prakim of nechama, of consolation. This perek continues that theme, but contains even more beautiful psukim of nechama. The first half of the perek is directed at Malchut Yisrael, the 10 tribes. They have been so beaten down over the years. They've been dispersed. They've been exiled. Unlike the people who are now exiled from Yehuda in Babylonia that have Yirmiyahu telling them that they'll return in 70 years, and they even have the false prophets saying they'll return faster than that, these exiles from the north, they left and they haven't come back yet. They haven't even wanted to come back, even though they were invited by Yoshio. Following the passage to Malchut Yisrael, we'll have in this parak a few psukim of comfort directly to Malchut Yehuda, the two tribes, Yehuda and Binyamin, and then the end will refer to the tribes together, a united Israel, a final fulfillment of Yoshio's dream, which will only be accomplished by his descendant, the Messiah. In this parak of Nechama, Yirmiyahu is going to play on many themes that he has discussed throughout his Sefer, but he changes them from condemnation to consolation, from rebuke to redemption. One example is in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Says Yirmiyahu, Od evnech v'nivneh, betulat Yisrael. I will once more build you, and you will be built, you sweet young Israel. Od ta'adi tupayach v'yatzat b'mochol mesachakim. You will once again come out in dancing with your instruments. Verse 4, O titi kramim bahare shomron, you will once again plant vineyards in the hills, in the mountains of Shomron. Natu notim b'chilelu, you're going to be able to plant beautiful plants and you'll celebrate. This pasuk, this idea of this young girl, Yisrael, coming and dancing, and then the nation coming and planting their plants in the hills of Samaria, is the opposite of some of the themes that we've seen before. In his letter to Babylonia, Yirmiyahu told them, "Benu batim v'shevu, nit'u ganot v'chlu et peryam, build houses and live in them. Plant your gardens and you'll eat their fruit." But the reason he was telling them that is because their redemption is going to be far off. They're going to have time to build and plant in Babylonia. Here, the planting that the people of the Shomron are going to do, the northern tribes, is not going to be temporary, and it won't be in someone else's land. It will be in your land. Yirmiyahu here is also playing on the theme of his job. He had two parts: to destroy, four words of destruction, and then two words of building and planting. We had the interim building and planting, building the houses and planting the gardens in the letters to the exiles of Babylon, to the tribes of Yehuda. But here we have the planting in the Harei Shomron, the full redemption. Furthermore, this image of the young girls coming out with instruments reminds us of the women at Yetziat Mitzrayim, who are coming with their instruments to celebrate their redemption from Egypt. This too is a redemption. This too is a coming together to see Hashem's hand and see how he has saved them, not from Egypt, but from their scattered lands that Assyria took them to. And the way Hashem speaks to them are just these beautiful words of love. Says Hashem in Pasuk Bet, Merachok Hashem Nir Ali. Hashem comes to me from afar and says, Ahavat Olam Ahavtich, I've loved you forever. It's not a temporary love, it's a permanent love. It's not a love that can go away. Al Kain Mishachtich Chesed, I'm going to continually do kindness for you. And of course, you'll notice that we've taken some of these words now in our liturgy, Ahavat Olam, Ahavtich, I love you forever, which we say in Mariv. We read in Perek Bet that Yirmiyahu says, Zacharti la chesed ne'urayich, I remember the kindness of your youth, Ahavat kalulotayich, the love you had for me when you were a bride, that you followed me in the desert in a land that wasn't planted. Here, that was this engagement love, the love of the desert, the love when you were a bride. Over here we have Ahavat Olam, a love that's forever. This is a marriage. Over there in Perek Bet, when Hashem described Bnei Israel in the desert, it says, the chesed of your youth, I remember the kindness when you were young. But now it's mishachtich chesed, everlasting kindness. So we've moved on from that marriage, from that engagement state, and now we're in the marriage state. Yirmiyahu also, in this perek, riffs on Yeshayahu's vision of utopia from Yeshayahu Perek Bet, chapter 2. He says in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Ki yesh yom k'ru notzrim bahar Ephraim, kumu v'na'let Zion el Hashem Elokeinu. There's going to be a day that the watchmen on Har Ephraim, on the mountains of the north, are going to say, let's go to Yerushalayim, to Hashem, our God. It reminds us of the scene of Yeshayahu where the non-Jews said, L'chu v'na'ale el Har Hashem, el Beit Elokei Yaakov. Let's go and let's go up to Har Habayit. Let's go up to the place of the Beit HaMikdash. And there we're going to learn from the ways of Hashem from the Jewish people. So here it's not the non-Jews who are coming to the Beit HaMikdash, but rather it's the people of the north. From Har Ephraim, from the mountains of Ephraim, the Shevet of Yeravan ben Nevat, the first king of Malchut Yisrael, who taught his people to spurn the Beit HaMikdash and make themselves golden calves because he was threatened by them, therefore causing division between the two countries. Here, the Beit HaMikdash no longer represents an object of jealousy or contention because the people of the north know that it's just as much theirs as Malchut Yudah, and perhaps this is even a bigger deal than Yeshayahu's non-Jews recognizing Hashem when you have the Jews of the north recognizing that they too can go back to the Beit HaMikdash, that it's also theirs. And this parak, you just have one beautiful pasuk after another. So just, for example, verse 8, Hineni mevi otam me'aretz tzafon, I'm going to bring them from the land of the north, v'kivatzti mi'arkitei aretz, I'm going to bring them from all the ends of the earth, bam iver upiseach, I'm going to bring the blind and the lame, harav yoledet yachdav, the one who is pregnant, the one who is in labor, they're all going to come together, kahal gadol yashuvuhim, they're going to come as a great congregation. Radak explains this, that they're going to, going to be able to come slowly. They won't have to rush when they come back. Everyone can go at their own pace. Even a woman who's giving birth can come and she can also be comfortable. And you just think about this picture of all Jews coming to Israel, no matter how hurt they are, whether they're blind or lame, they've been damaged in Galut. But there's also hope. There are also women who are pregnant and giving birth. There's a next generation. And all of those people are coming back to Eretz Israel in a kahal gadol. It doesn't matter how you are or what you are. This is your future. Everyone can come and it will be soft and it won't be dangerous. And the redemption will be so great that it will spread to the non-Jews as well. And we read in Yirmiyahu about people passing by, non-Jews passing by the desolate Eretz Israel and wondering, well, what did the Jews do to deserve their fate? And here it says in verse 10, Shmu dvar Hashem goyim, listen to the word of Hashem, nations of the world. V'higidu ba'iyim mirachok, and talk about it on islands that are very far, v'imru, and what are you going to say? Mizarei Yisrael yikapsenu, v'shamru kiro'e edro. Hashem who scattered Israel, he who scattered them, he is gathering them. And now he will guard them like a shepherd guards his flock. And that's the opposite of what we saw before, the non-Jews looking at a desolate Israel. Now they look at the ingathering and they see how much Hashem cares about Bnei Israel. This image, kiro'e edro, is mentioned very few times in Tanakh. This is one of them. And we use this imagery on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in our most serious passage that we daven about, Unesana Tokef. We say, Kivakarat ro'e edro, ma'avir tzono tachat shivtu, like a shepherd inspecting his flock, he makes the sheep pass under his staff. This idea of the shepherd and his flock connotes judgment, but it also connotes attention and care. This image of the shepherd and the flock, it stayed with us from all time, so we draw on that of Hashem as our shepherd. And who cares about us, so that when we want to talk about Hashem judging us, and it's more of a scary image, we go back to this passage in Yirmiyahu, and it also comes up in Yechezkel, a very similar passage, and we take that line, a of consolation and we bring it into our liturgy at our most vulnerable time. The next pasuk has also made it into our liturgy because of its positivity, hope, and timelessness. In verse 10, it says, Ki pada Hashem et Yaakov uga'alo miyad chazak mimenu. Hashem has redeemed Yaakov and given him redemption from a much stronger hand than he was. And we've used this, we say it every day in our Maariv prayer right before we start Shmona Esrei, because this is the ultimate statement of Geula, of redemption. As Yirmiyahu thinks about Geula, about redemption, and gives hope for Bnei Israel that better time will come one day, there's one figure that stands out in his mind as the paragon of redemption, and that is Rachel Imenu, our mother Rachel, the wife of Yaakov. Rachel had a difficult life. She was loved by her husband, but she desperately wanted children that she had only late in her life. And then finally she dies young in childbirth at the birth of her second child. Yirmiyahu imagines Rachel still desperate for these children and crying for them and waiting for them to come home. And he says in verse 14, Ko amar Hashem, Hashem turns to Rachel. Hashem turns and says, Ko birama nishma. I hear a voice crying in Ramah, Nihi Bechi Tamrumim, wailing and bitter weeping. It's Rachel, Mevakal Bana. She's crying about her children. Ma'ana lehi nachem al Bana, ki einenu. She refuses to be comforted on her children because they are not here. Rachel will not accept no as an answer. She died young and left her children to be raised by others, but her love for them did not abate. She is the perfect person to cry and wait for them to come back from the galut. And in a way, this represents Hashem as well. Giving his children are far from him. His children are scattered. And they're being raised by other people in other countries. But Hashem is still crying for his children. He's still waiting for them to come home. Hashem says to Rachel in verse 15, Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, min I kolech mi bechi, you can stop your crying, ve'einayich min dima, you can stop the tears flowing from your eyes, ki yesh sachar lefulateich, there's going to be a reward for your care, for your work, that you haven't given up, ne'um Hashem, v'shavu me'eretz oyev, your children are going to come back from the land of their enemies, v'yesh tikva la'achariteich, Ne'um Hashem, there's going to be hope for your generations. V'shavu banim l'gvulam, and children will come back to their borders. And you know, this is the song that people sing when people make aliyah. They sing v'shavu banim l'gvulam all over. They sing it when you get an aliyah at your first Shabbos. They sing it at the airport. It's become this phrase of people coming back to Israel in our day. And it's just interesting that Rachel Imenu is a premier figure for the Jewish people, but especially for Malchut Yisrael, because she is the mother of Yosef, and Yosef's children became the kings from Shevet Ephraim. And this is a way that Yirmiyahu is reaching out to the people of the north by choosing their ancestor to represent the hope of the Jewish people. There's a parallel pasuk in Parak Gimel. A lot of the psukim in this are echoes of Parak Gimel of chapter 3, where Yirmiyahu calls the people to come back, shuv. He says, shavu banim shovavim, come back, rebellious children. You're still Hashem's children, even though you're rebellious. You're still shovavim. You chose wrongly and you ignored his call, but Hashem still wants you back. And Yirmiyahu didn't get an answer to that. But here he promises that one day, v'shavu banim l'gvulam, they will come back. And he doesn't say banim shovavim, rebellious children. He just calls them banim, v'shavu banim l'gvulam. They will come back to their land. And which better figure to represent this than Rachel, who spent her whole adult life pining for children and appreciating them, only to have the joy of raising them taken away from her. And just like Yaakov refused to be comforted when Yosef was taken from him, because really he knew deep down that Yosef was still alive, Rachel is the same way. She knows her children still have hope of returning, so she doesn't give up. And Yirmiyahu is also the same way. He also doesn't give up on the people and keeps giving them his prophecy, even though they spurn him at all times. The way Ephraim reacts when he returns here is very different than in Parak Gimel. Ephraim, Shevet Ephraim, the 10 tribes will say, Shamo shamati Ephraim mitnoded, yesartani v'ivaser. Ka'ego lo lumad. I can hear Ephraim lamenting. Ephraim is crying. You have chastised me, Hashem. You rebuke me, and I am chastised like a calf that has not been broken. Hashivini va'ashuva. Take me back, Hashem. Ki ata Hashem Elokai. You are Hashem, my God, says Ephraim. I'm ready to be back. I'm ready to acknowledge what I did wrong. This is very different from Perek Gimel. Hashem responds in verse 20, Haben Yakir li Ephraim. Ephraim, you are a dear child to me. Im Yeled Shashuim, a child that I gave toys to, I loved you. Kimidei Davribo, every time I talk about him, Zachor es Karenu Od, I'm always remembering him. Alkein Hamu Me'ai Lo, I yearn for him. Rachema Rachamenu Nu'um Hashem, and I'm going to bring him back with love and with kindness. And here in Perek Gimel, Hashem took the Jews back. It says, "Ki chasid ani," because I am merciful, says Hashem. Here, Hashem takes them back because of love. After Yirmiyahu finishes speaking about the 10 tribes and the images of the 10 tribes, he also invites Yehuda to return as well, setting up signposts for their walk back and inviting them to come and join together back to Eretz Yisrael. Afterwards, Yirmiyahu returns to his job description that we were introduced to in Parak Aleph. What he says, how Hashem says Yirmiyahu's job is lintosh lintotz laviv laros livnov lintoa, to uproot, to destroy, to build, and to plant. Throughout his sefer, he's been playing on this job description. In Parak Chet, chapter 18, he talked about it in the potter's house, that it's up to you which of these halves is going to happen to you, the destroying or the planting. Then in Parak 24, he talked about the baskets of figs, how his job is splitting, and half of the people are going to be uprooted and destroyed, and the other half in Babylonia are going to be built and plant. Now here in Perek Lamed Aleph, we have the final iteration of Yirmiyahu's job. In Pasuk Kaf Zayin, verse 27, Vaya kasher shakadati aleim lintosh lintot v'laros v'laavid v'laheira, says Hashem. Just like I made sure to keep my word to destroy and to uproot and to be evil to them, kein eshkod aleim livnot v'lintoa, nu'um Hashem. You can be sure that I will also keep my word to build them and to plant them. So it's another way of looking at Yirmiyahu's job. I did the first part. The first part is done. They have been uprooted. They have been destroyed. But just like the first part was kept, you could know that the second part will be kept also. And this reminds me of the story of Rabbi Akiva, where he sees the foxes frolicking on Har HaBayit. And the Chachamim that are with him, the other rabbis, they start crying, and Rabbi Akiva laughs. And they say, why are you laughing? And he says, because I know that all of the terrible prophecies have now been completed. And the only prophecy that's left now is the consolation. And I know now, once I see these foxes frolicking at the destroyed Beit HaMikdash, that one day it will be rebuilt. Yirmiyahu finishes by talking about another of his themes, and that is the Brit. And he says in Pasuk Lamed, verse 30, Hine yamim ba'im, about the covenant. Ne'um Hashem, days will come, v'karati et Beit Yisrael that Beit Yehuda Brit Chadasha. I'm going to make a new covenant with Yehuda and with Yisrael. Then he goes on to describe what the new covenant is like. It's not going to be like the covenant that I made with you after you left Mitzrayim, the covenant that you broke, says Yirmiyahu in verse 31. Rather, he says, this covenant I'm going to etch not on stones, but I'm going to etch it on your heart. And just like I gave you the Torah, now the Torah is going to be written on your heart. And he concludes, Vayiti lahem le'elohim v'hem yuli la'am. I will be their God and they will be my nation, echoing language from Matan Torah, from the giving of the Torah. And this idea of the Brit, this is a Brit that can never be revoked. Unlike the Brit that keeps going, and Yirmiyahu keeps talking about it, that you broke your covenant with Hashem, this time Hashem is going to be writing the covenant on your hearts, and therefore it will never, ever be taken away from you. What's interesting is, and Hashem says in verse 36, the reason it can't be annulled is because the Torah can't be annulled. And because the Torah is now inside you, you will continuously, always be my nation. Now, the Christians consider this passage to be about them. And the name for the New Testament is in Hebrew is actually Brit Chadashah. Of course, that's not what this pasuk is referring to, especially taken in the context of Yirmiyahu and his focus on the idea of Brit, of covenant. This is a perfect consolation, the renewal of a Brit that Bnei Israel broke in the past. The parak ends with Hashem telling Yirmiyahu to look over a field where people have been killed and telling him that the ground is stained with blood and ashes. And he says to him, Yirmiyahu, that ground is kadosh l'Hashem. It's holy to Hashem. Lo yinatesh, lo yeheresh o la'olam. This ground is holy land. This brings us back to parak 19, where Yirmiyahu stood at Gei Ben Hinnom and smashed his clay vessel. Now that ground, instead of telling them how the people are going to be killed, he tells them those people who were killed, these are holy people. This is holy land, giving redemption even to the people that are dead. In summary, in this parak, Yirmiyahu revisits a lot of his earlier themes. The bride who rebelled against her fiancé, the rebellious children of Malchut Yisrael, Yirmiyahu's outreach to the 10 tribes, his vision of death in the valley of Ben Hinnom, his role and his job as a prophet. And ultimately, he sees all of these themes come together, but in the context of Hashem's everlasting love for Bnei Yisrael. Thank you for studying together Le'ilo Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.